ఓం అజ్ఞాన తిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞాంజనా శలాకయ చక్షురున్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురువే నమః. నమ ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి ఇతి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే వాంఛాకల్పాతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధూభ్య ఏవ చ ఈతానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమా ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామినే గౌరత్విషే నమః. పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపాస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశక్తికం. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచనా గౌరాంగీ రాధే బృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీ గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే. హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. సో వెల్కమ్ టు ద గౌర పూర్ణిమ ఫెస్టివల్ ఎట్ శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా గోపీనాథ్ టెంపుల్ ఆన్ దిస్ వెరీ వెరీ స్పెషల్ ఇయర్ ఆఫ్ ద 50 ఇయర్స్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్కార్పొరేషన్ ఆఫ్ ఇస్కాన్ అండ్ అ వెరీ వెరీ స్పెషల్ డే టుడే. సో వి వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ. ఆనెస్ట్లీ ఫీలింగ్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ ఐ సే విత్ గ్రేట్ ఆనెస్టీ ఆల్సో వెరీ వెరీ హంబల్డ్ బై ద వండర్ఫుల్ క్లాసెస్ దట్ వీ హర్డ్ ఇన్ ద మార్నింగ్ అండ్ ఐ వాజ్ జస్ట్ థింకింగ్ దట్ దిస్ ఇస్ ద డే వేర్ ఇట్ వాజ్ ఎక్లిప్స్ లూనర్ ఎక్లిప్స్ at the time where Mahaprabhu Chaitanya was born. And the wonderful discourses by our wonderful devotees, Gaurang Prabhu, Shyamananda Prabhu, the wonderful kirtans by our wonderful devotees, Shivaram Prabhu and Gaur Gopal Prabhu and Jai Satchinandan Prabhu and all the wonderful things that happened during the whole day was as brilliant, as powerful, as energetic, as beautiful as the full moon. But there has to be eclipse today. So here you have a Rahu sitting, who is going to eclipse all the wonderful things. But I think it is a whole leela because somebody has to eclipse. So I was honestly thinking there is a very well orchestrated that I get to speak after all this wonderful nourishing talks and kirtans that we heard today. But no doubt it is a very very special day and is a great honor to speak, and it is definitely very 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 wonderful to really participate in this very holy festival. This is exactly 530 years ago that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in 1486. He appeared in 1486 precisely on 18th of February, Wednesday, the date as per the English calendar. 18th February, 1486, Wednesday, and today also happens to be a Wednesday. That's. And I was just thinking that such a holy day where such a powerful personality in the form of the Lord Himself advented in this world. But I wanted to do some research and see what are the things that happened around that time. And very interesting observation that in around that 25 years plus minus where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, we had this great people, that famous people, Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo. They were born in the 1440s and 1450s in Italy. And very interesting, just 6 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, in 1492, Christopher Columbus, a very, very sly person. And why I say this is we don't have time and we don't want to really speak about him today. But very sly person with a very, very duplicitous intention. He left the show. He was from, some say from Spain. He started from Spain in order to find India, in order to find the Silk Route, in order to go to the East, because that's where the money was, that's where the knowledge was, that's where everything was. He started his journey to find India. 1492, just 6 years, when Mahaprabhu Chaitanya was doing his beautiful pastimes, Bali Leela in Navadvip, this person started. And Mahaprabhu didn't want him to come to India. I said, why should you come to India when I'm here? So by mistake, by the power of the Lord, he found a place which he didn't want to find. He reached South America and then finally found North America. And then he named them the Red Indians. And then he made them the slaves. So I was thinking, what a wonderful agyata sukriti this gentleman has done. That when Mahaprabhu Chaitanya was born, 6 years afterwards, he sent this Christopher Columbus to find America so that a place is ready for our dear Srila Prabhupada to go, to preach in America. Srila Prabhupada, the key! So this man found America, he made, and very interesting, he went to America and made everybody slaves. That's the whole history, I was just reading it. It's a very, very traumatic history. And here this man was making slaves of this large tract of land. This very peaceful people were staying there, the Red Indians. They were very peaceful, nature-loving, God-loving people. They made slaves. And here, on the other side, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching the philosophy of being the servant of the servant of the servant. Out of love. Here this man was making forcefully people slaves. And Mahaprabhu Chaitanya here was preaching this wonderful philosophy understanding of Das, 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 Anudas. So it is understandable. It's understandable that becoming a servant is, in one sense, we can't really escape. So let us briefly understand what was the scenario at that time where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, 1486. Navadvip, the place. How many of you have been to Navadvip? Most of us have been to Navadvip. And what we see now, I'm sure all of you will agree, is quite a poor place. I mean, we don't see much opulence. The only opulence that is there is primarily in the Mayapur Chandrodai Mandir. Otherwise, just imagine if there was no Mayapur Chandrodai Mandir there, then what you would see was a very, very poor, unclean, of course, the holy presence of Ganges is always there, but a very poor place. But unlike what we see now, because the Lord personally was going to advent in this place was extremely prosperous. There was unlimited wealth in this place. And it's explained in Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur, which is one of the biographies of Lord Chaitanya. It's explained that there were unlimited students. And he says that students would come in to Navadvip
not only from India, from all over the world. And there were unlimited professors having their tolas or colleges or universities to teach people various aspects of learning. It was the high seat of learning at that time. And because it was high seat of learning, it was extremely opulent, extremely prosperous, because all the wealth was coming in that place, because at that time, knowledge was the thing that people were aspiring for. Unlike what we have now, people aspire for being film stars or sports stars, and that's where the wealth is. But at that time, if you are a knowledgeable scholar, you are all the opulence. And where would people become scholars? Where would they get trained to become scholars? It was in Navadvip. Please just imagine the power of time factor. What time can do? A very, very opulent place at one point in time, time factor can change completely. Huh? So let's go back 1486, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 1485, 1484, what was happening there? So much wealth. What to do with the wealth? And people say, hey, I have a pet dog. It's such a beautiful dog. He has nice furry skin. Oh, you have a beautiful cat. They were having pets in the form of dog and a cat. Many, many of them. These very, very supposedly scholarly people. The Bhattacharyas, the Mishras. I said, now we have so much wealth. What do we do with this wealth? We see that right now in our society. When people have wealth, they do all sorts of crazy things with that wealth. I would love to say this example. You know, I went to one country, I won't name, because the person from the country is sitting. So he will feel a little offended. So I went to one country, it is definitely not India. I went to one country and this was many years back, where I was not really exposed to, I mean, I didn't know what's, it was the first or second time that I went out of India. So I saw a shop, and it was called Nail Saloon. What is nail saloon? I know what is a saloon. What is this nail saloon? So I inquired at that. I said, this is the place where they take care of the nails of ladies. I said, what is there to take care of the nails? I mean, you just clip them when they grow and then throw them in the, just flush it and finish it off. I said, no, there's a whole industry after this. I said, what sort of industry is this? I asked the person. And there's a whole menu card. No offenses to anybody here. But it's a whole industry, and you can grow your nails, and they need to be a particular size before you enter that nail saloon. And there's a whole menu card where you want, and I said, you can have what you call nail polish. And what I knew was just nail polish, blue color, red color, just apply it and finish it off. But I said, no, there's a whole science to it, because they embed within your nails. And there was the costly thing in 2004, at that time, the highest thing that you can get done from that shop was costing $26,000. 10 nails. $26,000. I said, what do you do with $26,000? I said, they embed very, very, you know, VVS1 or VVS, those who are in diamond industry, they would know this. A very high quality, pure diamonds on your nails. And I said, what do we, I said, yeah, they can't eat properly with these nails, but they love it because they shines and everything. And then I realized, I said, just see this crazy waste of wealth. When people have a lot of money and they don't know what to do, I said, send these people to Radha Gopinath, we need so much money. Similarly, this is not a new thing in the 21st century, it has always been there. These people have so much wealth, they didn't know what to do. So they had a cat and a dog, and they had a beautiful, they took care of their hair and everything. I said, now let us get them married. Surprising for you and for me, but the fact is they would spend lakhs and lakhs of rupees on getting animals married. Way back 500 years ago. They would spend lakhs of rupees to get dolls married. And they would have debates. And they would make bets over the debates. Oh, he will win. I bet on this man. I bet on this man. And they would spend the money like that. Navdweep was in an extremely precarious, fallen condition. With so much of wealth. If you have wealth and you do not know what to do with the wealth, then you are in a very, very precarious situation. Because you think you have so much power. The power of buying. The power of buying is so much. And you think by spending the money, you can buy things. So that was the situation, and people would be worshipping demigods, demigoddesses, for so many ulterior motives, artha, karma, dharma, moksha. There was no question of any bhakti existing. This is just few years before Mahaprabhu was born. The supreme personality of Godhead, the Yuga Avatar, this was the situation. And there were very few handful of devotees. Can you imagine the situation? They were seeing all sorts of crazy things happening around. Durga worship, all sorts of sacrifices on the name of Durga worship, Kali worship. And they were pained. And they were saying that, oh Lord, you need to incarnate. On this day, it's a long story. Advaita Acharya was intensely praying to the Lord. His loud shouts would pierce through the layers and reach where the Lord was residing. He was intensely crying, the Lord, please descend. And to hear this, the Lord hear his prayer. And one of the reasons why the Lord incarnated is to answer the prayers of Advaita Acharya. And the Lord incarnated on this very day. And one of the lectures I was hearing, Devamrita Swami was speaking that as Hare Krishna devotees in his own style, he said, we make so many arrangements to make people chant Hare Krishna, yes? We have Rath Yatras, we have japa sessions in the temples. So many efforts are made to make people chant Hare Krishna. And when people chant Hare Krishna, oh, 200 people chanted Hare Krishna. Oh, in the Rath Yatra, 3,000 people came, they all chanted Hare Krishna. Because there's the power of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Hare, Ram Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So much effort is made, so much energy, so much time, so much management goes in making people chant Hare Krishna. And Maharaj explained, and see the power of the Lord. The Lord is so extremely powerful, without even doing anything, he simply created a situation where there was a lunar eclipse. And that was the time, it is explained, when there is an eclipse, it is a very, very inauspicious time. And in that inauspicious time, everybody, God-fearing people, God-loving people, the antagonistics, the atheists, everybody felt, It's an inauspicious time. I don't want to be affected by the inauspiciousness. So let me chant. And literally, I mean, we can only imagine and we can only just picturize. On the banks of the Ganges, as explained by Vrindavan Das Thakur, the whole bank and everybody inside the Ganges, lakhs and lakhs and lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of people at this point in time, 530 years ago, were intensely chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And there are many people, you know, who like to imitate. Hey, Hare Krishna. People like to imitate. Hey, choti wala aaya. Hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. People have this unnatural and this sadistic pleasure they get to imitate. And there are people who are imitating. Kya karta hai jab subah Hare Krishna bolta hai. They were all imitating, maybe in Bengali or whatever. Ki kori ben, Hare Krishna bol ben, whatever they say. And they were all imitating, and even the sect of people who were not following the Vaishnava cult or the Hindu cult, the other people, they were imitating. So in one sense, they were all chanting Hare Krishna. And just by this simple management of the Lord to have a lunar eclipse. Just by that, he made lakhs of people chant Hare Krishna. That is the power of the Lord. And in that most auspicious situation, in this very day, on the same very tithi, the Lord took birth in the holy land of Nodip. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! Shri Nimai ki! Shri Vishwambhar ki! So everybody was chanting Hare Krishna. Some of them were chanting Hari Hari! Some of them were chanting Jai Vishnu! And different names they were chanting. But the whole environment was filled with the power of the holy name. And that was the purpose why the Lord was coming in this age. To show the people the power of the holy name. So that's in this most auspicious situation the Lord incarnated. And this is the wonderful story which happened today. And this beautiful pastimes of the Lord are explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is one of the prominent biographies of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the whole life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or rather the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, can be primarily divided into 12 sections. The whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is Adilila, Madhilila, Antalila, and many chapters in that. The whole three Adilila, Madhilila, Antalila can be divided into 12 sections. The first section is invocation. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is invoking the blessings of his seniors so he can write this very, very powerful and interesting literature, which is going to be the PhD study of religion for the next 10,000 years. He was invoking the presence and the blessings of his seniors. The first few chapters are dedicated to invoking the blessings. And then we have the holy incarnation of Nimai. First is invocation. Second is incarnation. The third part of his education. The Lord had wonderful education. He was studying as a beautiful student. And then there was transformation. There was a time where the Lord was he was an erudite scholar. You loved to really pull people's legs. He wanted to show off his prowess as a scholar. And then everybody was praying that only if this person becomes a devotee. He's just so attractive. He's just so knowledgeable. But he's so proud. We want to be with him. We want to stay with him. But the moment he starts speaking, there's so much pride. And they didn't know he was the Lord. I said, it's just so difficult. They couldn't stay away from him. They couldn't stay with him. They said, only if this person becomes a devotee. Next few years, there was intense transformation of the heart of Nimai. When he met his guru, Ishwarpuri. And then later he took sannyas. So invocation, incarnation, education, transformation, and then comes renunciation. After transformation, he wanted to renounce the world and make the whole world his kutumba, his family. He took sannyas, gave up his wife and his mother, his family, and embraced the whole world as his family, and there was renunciation. And then there was propagation. He propagated the holy name of the Lord in a South India yatra. He went on a South India pilgrimage, and he yare dekhe tare kaho Krishna upadesh. Wherever he went, he instructed people on the holy names of Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava Rakshama. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava.
Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava Pai Ma.
So after propagation, where he was propagating the holy name of the Lord, in his heart, there was a great aspiration to go to Vrindavan. He propagated, but he said, I was yearning, he was aspiring to go to Vrindavan. But he was not allowed to go to Vrindavan at that time. Or rather, how can we say he was not allowed, but he didn't go to Vrindavan at that time. And then there was organization. He instructed Rupa Goswami, he instructed Sanatan Goswami, and he organized the whole preaching mission. He sent them to Vrindavan and told them to excavate the holy places of pilgrimage and told them to write books. There was organization. And then there was appreciation. He appreciated the wonderful devotion of various devotees in the form of King Pratap Rudra, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and many others. And then there was correction. There were many chapters dedicated to correction where he corrected the behavior of Chhota Haridas. He corrected many, many devotees' behavior. That this is not the way you behave as Vaishnavas. I'm just explaining very briefly. And then there was intoxication. Finally, the last few years in Jagannath Puri, he was completely intoxicated in love of God. He was like a madman. Just running around. There's Kothai Krishna, Kothai Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? I've not seen Krishna. He would have his cheeks scraped on the walls. He would bleed profusely in great madness of Krishna. That was the last few chapters, intoxication. And the last part of Chaitanya Chaitamrita is instruction in the form of Sikshashtakam. So if you see the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is filled with invocation, incarnation, education, transformation, renunciation, propagation, aspiration, organization, appreciation, correction, intoxication, and instructions. So this is the whole life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we will take few sections of this life of Mahaprabhu. How can we ever do justice? Just a small drops, small, small pastimes, and just feel blessed to discuss these pastimes. As we understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was a great scholar. And there was another very powerful scholar. Big, blessed personality was blessed by the goddess of learning herself. He was from the province of Kashmir. His name was Keshav. And he was hence named Keshav Kashmiri. All we know is Kashmiri Shoda. But this guy was Keshav Kashmiri. He was a powerful scholar, and he would go, and the way it would work is that there would be debates between two scholars, and if a particular scholar is defeated in a debate with the other scholar, he had to be a disciple of the other scholar. That was the custom at that time. And this gentleman was going all around showing his Vijay Patra. He said, I defeated this scholar, I defeated this scholar has become my disciple. And that's how he would go, and finally he came to Navadvip. And then he said that, if I win over Navadvip, then I am be established as the most powerful scholar in the world. So they came to Navadvip, and it was not that he was traveling alone with his bag on his shoulder, with a laptop. He would travel with a whole entourage of people. Dozens of elephants, dozens of horses on his palanquin, people playing bugles. That was a whole entourage that would come. And when people of Navadvip saw this entourage, he said, my God, what will happen? This man is very, very powerful. What will we do with him now? And they said, we have a good idea. We will have Nimai Pandit fight the battle with him, debate with him. Because if Nimai, who is actually just a Vyakaran teacher, if he gets defeated, there's no problem, because after all he was a Vyakaran teacher. Ought to be defeated. Not surprising. And if he really defeats Keshav Kashmiri, I say, what is your status in front of Navadvip? an ordinary Vyakaran teacher defeated you. That was their plan. So it was a beautiful scene. It was the evening time. Just imagine the banks of the Ganges. Nimai, the most beautiful, locks of curling hair flowing down his shoulders. Extremely beautiful. It's said that when he took sannyas and when the locks fell, it was the most painful thing, that how can this hair, which were like silken strands, be separated from somebody's body? That's how beautiful hair. How much we try to take care of our hair. And I saw some strange hairstyles nowadays. Today especially I saw very unique hairstyles. You know, they cut from here and there's a lot of hair here. Sir, you don't have any hair. Nothing to worry. You're a happy person. Huh? But so much we take care of hair. So much of attention to hair. So much money is spent on hair. But Nimai, because he actually had the most beautiful hair in the creation. He was sitting there, beautifully dressed. He would, as explained in Satyajit Ashtakam, he would wear his dhotis in very beautiful ways. Nava vesha kritam, right? He would wear dhotis in beautiful ways, styles. He would be very, very beautiful personality. He was sitting with his students, and they heard, it was evening time, and they saw the whole entourage coming. And one student said, Oh Rama, this man has come, Keshav Kashmiri. He told Nimai Pandit, you see this entourage? Such a big entourage, is just one man, scholar is coming. So Nimai, in his heart, he had decided to give mercy to this person. So Keshav Kashmiri came, and as we know, he was extremely proud. For those who really wanted to get a glimpse of the closest we have seen Keshav Kashmiri, many, many years back, those who were fortunate, there was a drama in which our wonderful Adi Keshav Prabhu became Keshav Kashmiri, and Gorang Prabhu became Nimai Pandit. It was a brilliant drama, not recorded, only in the heart of the devotees. And the way these two people acted, absolute brilliant. We could get an idea what was the opulence of Keshav. Keshav Kashmiri came and he said, he was just so proud, he was looking with his raised heads, and he said, Nimai, you are Nimai, I've heard your name. And Nimai was extremely humble. The power of humility is much more than the power of arrogance. Arrogance looks powerful, but it is hollow in within. But humility looks weak, but is extremely powerful. Amazing. So Nimai said, yeah, I'm an ordinary Vyakaran scholar, but I heard that you are a great scholar. Can you please narrate 100 verses, can you please narrate verses to glorify Mother Ganges? And it was not something that he had by-hearted. Somebody else's composition. Keshav Kashmiri, personally, while he was speaking, he was composing this verses after, one after another. 100 verses! And everybody was dumbstruck. I said, how can anybody speak with such power and such speed? Not only speak, but compose it. And they were all very surprised. And time is running, so we have to just quickly go. So Keshav Kashmiri said, so I finished. Nimai Pandit said, oh, that's wonderful. You spoke so well, but you spoke so fast, and your language is so high. Only you and your mother Saraswati understand what you spoke. Is it a compliment or a sarcasm? And he said, aapka lecture itna achha tha Prabhuji. Bahut maja aa gaya. Kuch samjha nahi. That's not compliment. She said, your composition was so wonderful that only you understand and your mother Saraswati understands. We didn't understand anything. Oh, thank you. And you are a fool, Keshav Kashmiri. He's not glorifying you. But he thought he was getting glorified. He said, but. I said, but? What is the but in this? there are some faults in your verses. You know, and when somebody is proud, and somebody says, there's some fault in what you are doing, I said, there's no faults. What are you talking? There's no faults in, if somebody tells Damodar Prabhu, Prabhu, there's some fault in your dal making. I said, no fault. What have you been taught? I've been cooking dal since 15 years. How can there be a fault in my dal? Right? Of course, he's a very humble person. He would never do that. But Keshav Kashmir, he was so used to glorification. There was no question of any buts in his life. There was no question of any faults. And Nimai Pandit says, no, there was faults. And then he repeated a verse, which we will repeat also. He said, Matvam Gangaya Satam Idam Abhanti Nitraram Yat Esha Shri Vishnu Charan Kamalopati Subhagha Dvitira Shri Lakshmi Iva Sura Nareer Acharya Charana Bhavani Bhartur Yash Shri Rashi Vibhavati Abhutaha Guna. He spoke this verse, Nimai. That in this verse there was a fault, and Keshav Kashmir said, my God, what did you just speak? I spoke this verse with the power of raging wind. How could you gather this verse, and not only gather the verse, but you repeated it verbatim? How is it possible? I said, well, it's possible somebody has a good art of composing, and somebody is like me, a Shudhidhar. God has given qualities to everybody. And I'm a Shudhidhar. When I hear once, I can grasp it, and that's how I remember. But there is a fault. And he found not one, not two, not three, but a dozen faults. And one fault is all we can speak about. He said, famous fault, very famous. Because actually not only one fault, this is the only fault I understood. Other faults I didn't understand. What does it mean? How do I explain to the audience? I said, this is the only fault I understand, because all of the faults are extremely grammatical faults, and which I don't really bother to even go inside. I said, this one fault is very nice to understand. So I said, this is the only fault I can speak. So he said, Bhavani Bhartu. Famous fault. We all know this. Bhavani Bhartu. Bhavani, what is the meaning of Bhavani? Bhavani means the wife of Lord Shiva. And this, my dear Keshav Kashmiri, for your kind information, you have said Bhavani Bhartu, which means the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva, which implies, my dear Keshav Kashmiri, that you are saying that Bhavani has one more husband other than Lord Shiva, which is an offense to Bhavani. And Keshav said, ah. He was shocked. His jaw fell down. I said, how can somebody, and then one after another, faults after faults. Maybe Gaurang Prabhu will take it someday. He'll explain to you properly what are the other faults. We'll leave that for him. And he explained, and then Keshav Kashmiri was dumbfounded. But Nimai was so... when somebody is getting defeated, we get this sadistic pleasure. Huh? Yeah! Like, does that act makes him feel more... But Nimai didn't say, yeah, come on, I beat him. No, nothing like that. You know, I love to see when I was a child, I love to see boxing. One of my favorite sports. Boxing. And I like to see, don't see it in the YouTube, but there is a sections, 10 best knockouts. Mike Tyson, famous guy. And how much passion. You know, just one knockout, yeah. So much passion. When somebody is defeated, the last thing he wants to see is that people get happy with his defeat. You have to respect his dignity. A gentleman will do that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated Keshav Kashmiri. It was a serious defeat. Never in his history of his life did he face this defeat. Such a defeat. I said, don't worry, Keshav Kashmiri. You go home. We'll discuss tomorrow. He was just so respectful to Keshav Kashmir. And Keshav Kashmir couldn't just get over it. He went. He said, oh mother, why did you leave me today? I couldn't speak a word. As the story goes, Keshav Kashmiri, he got a darshan of his worshipable Lord. I said, don't worry. This, the person that you are, you are with me, he's my master. Go and surrender to him. Keshav Kashmiri went and surrendered to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was one of the many amazing transformations and amazing education challenges that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had in his life, which is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then we go to the beautiful pastimes that Mahaprabhu did of Chand Kazi. Very interesting pastime. It is explained that as devotees we must all understand that we should never ever be very, very docile in speaking something against the current affairs if it is affecting our movement or affecting our practice of Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed by his example. If you study the history at that time, it's very interesting that there were only two Hindu rulers in the whole India at that time. In fact, the whole of India was ruled by Mughal emperors. Only two Hindu rulers, that was King Pratap Rudra in the east and Krishna Dev Rai in the south. Rest of the whole of India was ruled by Muslims who were not supporting Krishna consciousness. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that the movement was attacked, he gave a very, very right reply to Chand Kazi. And he converted. It's a long story. But it's very interesting to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his example, is teaching that it is not that we just tolerate what was happening. We must be doing things in such a way that people take us seriously. We cannot just allow people to just crush us. At the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he took sannyas from the Bharati Sampradaya, which was not the highest Sampradaya for sannyas. Why? Because at that time, for social acceptability, very interesting word Prabhupada uses in his lecture, for social acceptability, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas in the Bharati Sampradaya. Similarly, we learn from this particular episode of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we may be doing things in a particular way, but if we need to really preach without really compromising the philosophy, we need to have social acceptability in the society. We can't be doing things our way. And a wonderful example is just what is very interesting. So many people just wrote to me that how ISKCON is celebrating dry Holi. Our temple, we are not going to use water in the Holi. It is going to be because of this. The state of Maharashtra is having acute water problems. And if even in this year, we say, well, for the pleasure of the Lord, the water is Lord's property, we should use for the Lord's, and you can be right to say that we will still use water and we'll still have the Holi for the pleasure of the Lord. But for social acceptability, so people take us seriously, people understand that yes, we are very sensitive people. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, similarly, what does it teach from that? There's a need for us to behave in a way that we are socially acceptable also. I repeat, without compromising our philosophy, without compromising our faith. So many people, there was articles in premium newspapers today, ISKCON celebrates dry Holi. Fantastic PR exercise. And not only PR exercise, but fantastic impression the world gets. And they take it seriously. These people are really serious people. But otherwise, we just dogmatically say, well, this is the way things happen and this is the only way we do it. And there have been a lot of dogmatic situations that our society has done and faced the wrath of the society. Right? So it's important that we understand the social situation and behave in a particular way. The way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, ekadanda sannyas. He didn't take tridanda sannyas. He took ekadanda sannyas because that was what is acceptable that time. For him to be acceptable as sannyas, he took that sannyas in the Bharati Sampradaya. Very interesting point. And as we go further, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing his wonderful pastimes, one very interesting pastime that happened in his life is when he was in Jagannath Puri. And how can we really complete the glorification of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without really mentioning the name of King Pratap Rudra? Gajapati Taran, as is mentioned in the song that we sang. Gajapati means King Pratap Rudra. King Pratap Rudra was so very intensely desirous of meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we learn a very, very interesting lesson from the life of King Pratap Rudra. He was so keen, and at first he sent a request through his guru, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He said, Sarvabhauma, I am a king. You are my guru. Please request that I can have an audience, one-to-one audience with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was desirous of completely surrendering his life to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sarvabhauma went to Lord Chaitanya. He said, the king wants to meet you. Please meet him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no way I am going to meet any king. As sannyasi, I am not supposed to meet any kings. I will not meet him. But the desire was so strong. Then next he sent the request to Ramananda Rai. He said, Ramananda Rai, you are working for me. You can retire. You will have full salary without any work, pension. But just put a request on my behalf that I can meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya didn't work. Then he told Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai said, please Lord, please meet him. He is desirous of meeting you. Lord said, no way I can meet. And still he was firm in his desire, in his determination. Desiring and determination. And then he sent the request through Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Nityananda Prabhu told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that please meet, this king is very much desirous to meet you. The Lord said, I will not meet him, but I will meet his son. Meaning the son of the king is as good as meeting the king. So I will meet him, but I will not meet the king. So still the king was not very happy. He was determined to meet Lord Chaitanya. This is what is required to be successful in our Krishna consciousness. First, a strong desire to be Krishna conscious. Do we have that desire to be Krishna conscious? To the extent that King Pratap Rudra had, against all odds. He didn't say, well, I tried, it didn't work, what to do? Very stubborn the Lord is, what to do? He could have said that, but he tried. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, Lord Nityananda. But the Lord, but the king was extremely determined. And then, finally, he met the Lord. He did menial service, swept the floor, and we all know, he met the Lord in the garden. And very, very ordinary bhangi, he dressed as an ordinary street sweeper. And he was massaging the Lord's lotus feet, and he chanted Gopi Gita. Why are we saying this story? It is a very interesting story, very important story. The first thing that we learn is desire. The second thing, once we have a desire, then we should know the right direction on how to fulfill that desire. The king had the desire, then he found a direction in the form of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, Lord Nityananda. He was finding the direction and then determined till he met the Lord. The three D's. Desiring, the right direction. If you all are desirous of Krishna consciousness, we want to be Krishna conscious, what is the right thing to do? To come in satsang of the Lord. That's the right direction. We can't be sitting at home and be Krishna conscious all the time. Internet is good. Hearing lectures is good on the internet. No offenses to those who are hearing the lecture on the internet, please. But there's a need to physically sit in the temple and hear the lecture. There's a need to do some physical service. You can't just desire and do nothing about the desire. You need to do something about the desire. And the third thing, desiring, the right direction in order to achieve that desire, what is required is the very important ingredient of determination. Nishchay, that at any cost, I will achieve this. And that was what we see in the case of Srila Prabhupada. The three D's were so powerfully present. The desire to please his spiritual master at any cost. The right direction to meet Sumabhadri Murarji, to write the Srimad Bhagavatam, to do everything. And determined, 25 times he went to the office of Sumabhadri Murarji. And maybe more. Begging as a beggar. He was a businessman. He was not used to begging, my dear friends. Prabhupada was a successful businessman. He was a Vaishya. He earned a lot of money. It was not, I mean, materially speaking, it was not easy for Prabhupada to beg. But to please his guru, he was determined at any cost. Please, give me a passage to America. That is what is required. Let us learn from these beautiful examples. Not just hear the stories. The stories are good to hear. They will entertain us. But what do you learn from these stories is very, very important. What we all learn today on Gaur Purnima is that if we want to achieve the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we want to achieve Krishna in this life, the desire is good, but the desiring will not help. If you don't do anything about desire, in due course, the desire will also die down. Nothing will inspire us. Many times I call this the buffalo syndrome. You understand what is buffalo? And the unique thing about buffalo, for those who have seen, if you go to Pawan Sarovar or some place, you've seen how buffaloes, you know, they you know, first of all, when they walk, they're like, And the way they enter the waters, and they go inside, and they're completely, you do anything, they're just, humko kuch farak nahi padta hai. So many a times, devotees, after spending many, many years in Krishna consciousness, nothing inspires them. Vrindavan Yatra, 15 bar ja ke aaya. प्रभु गौर पूर्णिमा 25 बार अटेंड किया गौर पूर्णिमा क्या है इसमें वही चैतन्य महाप्रभु को नया भगवान थोड़ी है ऑफकोर्स आई एम नॉट इट्स नॉट दैट बैड बट इन ड्यू कोर्स इफ यू डोंट हैव द डिटर्मिनेशन एंड द डिरेक्शन वी विल लूज अवर डिजायर टू बी कृष्णा कॉन्शियस एंड द सैड पार्ट इज मेनी टाइम्स वी हैव सीन एंड वी हैव आवरसेल्फ एक्सपीरियंस्ड इट दैट वी हैव दिस बफेलो सिंड्रोम नथिंग इंस्पायर्स अस. And that is a very, very sad situation in life. So we should work towards these 3 D's. Desire first. Constantly desire. Keep on desiring that. Yes, I want to be Krishna conscious. And then the right direction. Whatever it takes. And not just it takes in the first 5 years of Krishna consciousness. We have to continue doing it 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Because we need to be Krishna conscious all these years. And determination. That is what we learn from this great personality, Pratap Rudra. Till the time he got the mercy of the Lord, many, many years went by, he was determined. And not that after he got the mercy, arey, mil gaya Bhagwan, abhi nahi. Many times, diksha mil gaya, oh, now I'm happy, I'm so and so das. Till diksha, you know, you do all the services and everything, diksha mil gaya, then you become not. It is the beginning. We need to continue being Krishna conscious. And you know, many, many stories. I mean, there's so much of wonderful story. And the last part we want to just discuss is, you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he was experiencing something that we all, his gift that he is giving to all of us. This was in Jagannath Puri, as we described, the time where he was constantly intoxicated. This intoxication is what he wants to give to all of us. That is what he came to give. Radha and Krishna intoxication. The intoxication of the love of Radha and Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally experiencing it in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Once he was just going around, he was in the, near the ocean, and he saw the ocean, and he saw that this ocean is not different than Jamuna. He jumped in the ocean. This is the ecstasy that he was experiencing. And the devotees were wondering, where is the Lord gone? They were searching everywhere. Chataka Parvat, they went to Gambi, everywhere they were searching, but the Lord was not to be seen. And the devotees are thinking, oh my dear, the Lord has left us. With the search for hours and hours and hours. That day happened to be Sharad Purnima. It was a night of Sharad Purnima. And the Lord just jumped into the ocean. And he was just drowning in the ocean. Completely unconscious, completely beyond the mortal plane. And the devotees were searching for him. And they at the midnight they realized, the Lord has left us. Unfortunately we are. And they were crying and crying and crying. But the Lord was there, and in the night there was a fisherman. He had his night duty, maybe. Night duty fisherman. He would do fishing in the night, peaceful, and he would always put a net and sit in the night. And because it was night time, there could be a lot of ghosts. So he would keep on chanting Narsingha prayers. Namaste Narsingha. He found something, oh, very heavy. I said, this is a great catch today. The Lord is very kind to me. And he took out the net and saw something very bulky, and he touched it, and he was completely electrified. I said, what is this? Who is this? And then he said, oh my God, I am haunted by a ghost. And he started chanting, Namaste Narsinghaya, Prahlada Lada Daini. And the more he chanted Narsingha prayers, the more he got more and more haunted. He said, what sort of, usually when there's a ghost, if I chant Narsingha prayers, the ghost goes away. But what sort of ghost is this? Very dangerous ghost. And on the other side, the devotees were waiting at the shore. And then Saurabh Damodar Goswami got his few devotees and they're waiting. And they saw this fisherman behaving completely crazy. Just jumping and yelling and dancing in early morning. At 4 o'clock in the morning, this man was doing all sorts of crazy things. And he was saying, I said, what is this? I said, what's happened to you? And then he said, Saurabh Damodar caught hold of him. I said, what happened? And Samadhiya, this man, took all the capacity he had to speak. He said, I found a dead corpse in the ocean. And Saurabh Damodar in his mind, he said, oh, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. I said, this corpse was so, it was a ghost. The ghost of the corpse has entered my body, and the more I chant Narsingha prayers, the more he was just usurping my body. More and more, you know, capturing my body. And I said, what was the corpse saying? He said, he was just saying this. I said, I need an exorcist. Please get me an exorcist. I want to get rid of this ghost. Saurabh Damodar said, I am an exorcist, don't worry. And he took his hand and put it on his head. And then he slapped him. Pat, pat, pat. 3 times. Tight slap from Saurabh Damodar Goswami. Don't try this, please. He slapped him and the ghost went away. That is not the ghost. He was the most fortunate person in this creation. And then he said, but you see this body, what is this? It was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Mahabhav. His body, which is anyway very long, had become more long because between each joint there was whole muscles. Usually in joints we have this bones. Those muscles and his body had become so elongated. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Saurabh Damodar and others, they did kirtan and the Lord came back to external consciousness. So right from the pastime of Keshav Kashmiri, right from the pastimes of Prakim Pratap Rudra, and right from the pastimes of this wonderful pastime in Jagannath Puri, the Lord is teaching us that if we are seriously practicing Krishna consciousness, this is what is in store for you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, he's come, anarpita charim chirat karuna avtirno kalo samapayatum unnatva jala rasam sa bhaktim shriya hari purata sundara dutikadam sadipita sadharidaya kandare spuritva Sachinandana. May the son of mother Sachi be transcendently situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. Resplendent with the hue of molten gold, he has come to give with no other incarnations ever given before. The pure mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. That is what anarpita, something which has never ever given before, is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming to give. But the strange thing is, we have to respect the power of time, and we'll take 2 more minutes. We have to respect the time. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such a powerful incarnation, he came and he established the power of bhakti yoga, the power of worshipping Krishna. But in a matter of few years, in the same very place where he was born and where he preached, that place became very, very mundane. A lot of upper sampradayas came up in a matter of few years. And it was so surprising to me when I first read it, that when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was trying to find Chaitanya Charitamrita to read, it took him many years to find one copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It took him many, many years. So what do we learn from this? We understand that the time factor is very prabal, very powerful. Even though the most powerful incarnation came, that same very place, we know what has happened of that place now, which was once upon a time a very powerful place, very rich place. The time factor changes everything. But great souls like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada, they act as what I call the revival agents. They revive the the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They revive the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because by time factor, and as Kali Yuga progresses, the time factor between is becoming more and more shorter. A powerful person comes, again things get diluted. Again somebody comes, again things get diluted. And this will keep on happening more and more frequently as Kali Yuga progresses. Let us all on this day take a resolution, if not a vow, that I will be acting as a revival agent of the mercy and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because the power of time, Kali Yuga, is very, very powerful. But I want to assist Srila Prabhupada, who was a powerful agent, who revived, not only in India, but in the whole world. What a powerful revival agent. Bhakti Siddhanta, what a powerful revival agent. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he revived the whole teaching of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let us not get bogged down by the negativities of life. And there are plenty if you want to see them. You can easily complain about it. But on this day of God Purnima, final 30th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the 50th anniversary of ISKCON, let us take a resolution. Let us take a pledge in front of Srila Prabhupada, in front of Radha Gopinath, that I, with my practice, with the honesty and that I have at my disposal, I take a pledge that I want to be a revival agent of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That will be the best gift we can give on the birthday. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthday today, appearance day. What gift can we give him? It's a custom to give gifts. He's the birthday boy. Birthday Lord. And what is the gift we can give him? He revived it. He empowered his representative to revive it. And we all can easily act as small revival agents. Prabhupada did it in a global way. Bhakti Siddhanta did it in a pan-India way. Bhakti Vinod Thakur did it in a way. We can all at least do local. Can we not be local revival agents of the Lord? Wherever we are, to revive. And there is no better time than now to really revive this mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The world, I mean, that's the sad news. One of the countries in Europe, there was a census done, and for the first time in the history of that country, there are more atheists in that country than people who are believing in God. Just imagine, this is the situation. The whole country, there are more atheists in that country, which used to be a God-fearing country. 100% of people were believing in Jesus Christ. But now there are more atheist people. That is why we need to be revival agents. In whatever way we can revive. So let us all really join in the wonderful aarti of the Lord. And let us all very, very enthusiastically dance. This is a very, very special Gaur Purnima. It is the Maha Maha aarti. The aarti of the year. The Gaur aarti of the year. The most important aarti of the year. Which will be led by some of our beautiful, wonderful singers today. Let us all with enthusiasm and with prayers in our heart, not just dancing, but let our heart be also praying. Then let us all follow the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as we are discussing, let us all be in our own small or big ways, be revival agents to revive the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. There is one quick announcement. There is a 3-day seminar on Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 3, Chapter 28 to 24 by His Grace Gaurang Prabhu on 1st April to 3rd April. Timings are 7 to 9 p.m. For registration details, please contact reception downstairs. Hare Krishna.